Well, it's delightful to have a chapel full of people. And it's a great chapel anyways. Many of you are adorers and you probably have been here alone with the Lord. It's a great place to pray, but and that's a beautiful privilege as well. But to have the chapel filled with people is also a delight. As I said, this is Mass, so anyone who's here for the Mass is here for this is the best part of the day. In fact, if you're hoping to encounter Anuim, this is actually the best place to encounter Anuim. The liturgical life is the Anuim life, so you're already, I don't have to explain it, you're already immersed in the middle of it, and the second part of our morning will be the explanation part. But here we're actually doing what the Church does and what Mary does. We're pondering the Word and we're preparing to receive the Eucharist. So that's a delight. Now, but this is the first part of our morning of exploration into the Anuim Charism. And as I look at the readings today, I can't help but again be surprised at how the Lord sets these things up. I shouldn't be surprised because this happens all the time. These readings are great for an investigation into our charism. In fact, when I picked up the reading yesterday, the very first line of the first reading is, consider your own calling. I said, that's exactly, I've been spending the last couple of days jotting down notes about what I'm going to say later. Consider your own calling. That's what I've been doing, and that's what we're doing. Consider this call to the Anuim way of life. St. Paul says, consider your calling. And then we have this gospel parable about being entrusted with some precious gift, which is supposed to be shared and multiplied. Well, that's what we in Anuim feel. We've been given five talents. We've been given 100 talents. an inexhaustible treasure that's plenty for everybody. And then today being a Saturday, and since there's no assigned saint on the calendar, we can offer a Mass in honor of Our Lady. And that's also very much to the point. It's at the center of Anuim life. That's why we have an image of Our Lady there in front of the altar, Our Lady of the liturgical life. So all these things practically write the homily. I don't have to say anything. We've got a huge gift entrusted to us for us to invest. We are the poor and the lowly, as the first reading says, and we're under the guidance of Our Lady. Okay, that's the main argument. But let me just look at this gospel for a moment. You know the parable. The three servants get three different amounts of talents. A talent was a huge amount of money. I had thought it was a year's salary, but I just looked it up before the Mass. It was 20 years' salary. One talent was 20 years' salary. So, I mean, it was just an enormous amount of money. I don't know how much people make in 20 years. I mean, even if you take off the taxes and whatever other things are deleted, that's a huge amount of money. So he gives one servant five talents, five times 20, it's 100 years' wages, right? Yeah, like plunked down in his hand. One, two talents, another one third, one talent, to each according to his ability. So he could see what the servants were capable of or were likely to be able to do, and he generously gave them their portion. And it turns out he's right. The guy who got five did make five. That was good. Good choice. The guy who got two, yep, got two. And it seems as if he was cautious about giving that one to the one. It was as if, I don't even know if I can give him one. He doesn't seem to have much ability. And it turns out it's true. The guy didn't have it. He didn't participate in the gift. He just buried it. And you know what happens. After a long time, the master comes back and finds out the results. Well, this is not about masters and servants. This is about the Lord and us. It's about the Lord entrusting the treasure of his gifts to us, the enormous treasure, way beyond what we earn, with extreme generosity, with extreme risk that we could lose it, or waste it or misuse it. And the Lord, that's what the Lord does. I remember the even more famous parable of the sower, you know. He just throws seeds everywhere. But he doesn't even care. That's the Lord. He's generously throwing his gifts to everybody all over the place. even though he knows there's a lot of footpaths and a lot of rocky ground and a lot of thorny ground and all that. But maybe some of it will land on good soil. And that's that seeds in the good soil will produce a hundredfold. Well, same with this. These servants, you know, he's taking the risk that we might lose it. That's what God does. The two servants do it right, and they're told, you are good and faithful servants, and I'm going to entrust even more to you. And then the key line is, not I'm giving you a lot more work to do. The key line is, come, share your master's joy. Like, I love giving out my talents to people. And I'd love to have you share in this process of sharing. I'm a giver. You're givers. Enjoy it. That's the Christian life. Love. You're loved. You have a lot of love given to you. Love others. And enjoy it. You know, we can't enjoy it if we're self-centered. But if we're willing to empty ourselves, it's really a delightful adventure to be servants of this master. Now, the one servant, and this is the sad side of the other possibility, is that we don't participate in the generosity of the Lord. We could hold a judgment against the master or against the Lord, and a lot of people do. He says, well, I knew that you were a demanding person, harvesting where you did not plant and gathering where you did not scatter. It's completely wrong. You understand? He has it completely wrong. The master is not a demanding person. He's an extravagantly generous person. You want 20 years of wages? Plunked out. Is that a demanding person? That's a person who is really big-hearted. And he's not harvesting where he did not plant. He's planting everywhere, and he's hoping to harvest somewhere. He's not gathering where he did not scatter. He scatters everywhere and hopes he can gather somewhere. So this third servant has it completely wrong, and very often we have our understanding or our picture of the Lord is completely wrong. And what happens when we're completely wrong is it affects our behavior. We grow afraid. We grow self-protective, and we bury what we're given as if that's the best way to live. In fact, it's the worst way to live. What happens is we choke off the very thing that we're trying to preserve. Symbol here is talents, which is money. But, I mean, it's also life. And if you choke life, if you hold too tightly onto life, you kill it. Maybe... some of them have children, and when children get pets, you know, sometimes they squeeze them. They're too rough with the kitten or something like that. It's one thing to treasure life. It's another thing to grasp it too tightly. You kill it. That's what happens here. Okay, now since this is a morning to focus on the Anuim charism, I think it's easy to see, at least for those who appreciate what Anuim has been given through our founder. We've been given a huge gift, a gift of understanding into the liturgy, into the heart of the church, into the way that the church generates new life through the liturgy. We've been invited to ponder in our hearts with Mary, with the church. And that's just an inexhaustible treasure. I hope that we are at least sometimes good ground, and it's bearing good fruit. And that's what we're investigating this morning. Now, to prevent anyone from thinking that because he has a big treasure or has a lot of talents, that he's therefore a good person, we get this first reading. Although most people don't think they have a big treasure, this is actually one of the misreadings of the parable. People tend to say, well, I don't have any talents. I don't have any special gift. I'm not LeBron James or something. I'm not Simone Biles. That's other people have talents. Tom Hanks or some, you know, Bill Gates or, you know, the people at the top of whatever heap you want to look at, there's always some people who are going to be better than you. And they say, well, I don't have any talents. No, you do. You do. If you're alive, you have talent. If you're baptized, you have five talents. If you've received Holy Communion, you have 100 talents. I mean, you've got a lot more than you might give yourself credit for because of the generosity of God, not because you're a special person. Now, that's the other side that's brought out in this first reading. When St. Paul says, consider your own calling, he says, remember, you're basically nobody. God chose the foolish. He chose the weak. He chose the lowly. He chose the despised. He chose those who count for nothing. And five attributes of the Anuim, of the poor. Foolish, weak, lowly, despised, and count for nothing. You want to join? That's who God chooses. And if you put it together with this parable, you say, well, when the master looked at his servants and he's going to entrust them with talents according to their ability, he actually chose people who were not qualified. He didn't choose the best, or according to worldly standards. He chose those who were the most likely to be generous, who were not going to be so caught up in their own credentials, their pride, their desire to impress, or whatever else gets in the way. And this is what St. Paul is emphasizing. He chose the foolish in order to shame the wise. He chose the weak in order to shame the strong. Because the people who are strong, or meaning relying on their own human strength, they're in trouble. They need to be reminded that they're weak. The lowly and despised, those who count for nothing, to reduce to nothing those who were something. Because anybody who thinks he's something is at risk of grasping the talent and burying it in the ground. That's the danger. Okay, and then he, after making it clear that those who are chosen by God are basically the nobodies, which is all of us, he says that means that our boast is not in ourselves and what we accomplish, or even in what we have received, but in the Lord. Whoever boasts should boast in the Lord. That this morning, since it's focused on the Anuim Charism, is kind of a boast about the Anuim Charism. It's a boast in the Lord. There's a lot of things you could say negatively about Anuim, but that's the human side. What about the Lord? Boast in the Lord. In fact, it's the very spirit of the Blessed Virgin Mary to boast in the Lord. Remember, my soul proclaims the greatness of the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. That's the boast, and that's the boast of every Christian. So it's also the boast of the Anuim. So we'll be talking more about Anuim in the second half of this morning, but it's clear that the liturgy here is giving us a big, big push in the right direction to understand the generosity of God, our responsibility as his servants, as his children, not to choke off the gift of life, and the identity of the Anuim as the lowly, the poor, the weak, the foolish, or those who look foolish, those who can boast, not in themselves, but in the Lord.